Our scripture today comes from Psalm 1. Marge Hansel will read the first portion. Tina Hilsdorf will read the second.
This reading, David is pleading to a God in a time of prayer. He says, "You hate those who take you back into worthless idols, but I in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversity and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength failed because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of my mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But my trust is in you, O Lord. You are my God. I am always in your care. Save me from my enemies, from those who persecute me. Look on your servant with kindness. Save me in your constant love. I call to you, Lord. Don't let me be disgraced. May the wicked be disgraced. May they go silently down the world of the dead. Silence those liars, all the proud and arrogant who speak with contempt about righteous men. How wonderful are the good things you keep for those who honor you. Everyone knows how good you are, how securely you protect those who trust you. You hide them in the safety of your presence from the plots of men. In a safe shelter, you hide them from the insults of their enemies. Praise the Lord, how wonderfully he showed his love for me when I was surrounded and attacked. I was afraid and thought that he had driven me out of his presence, but he heard my cry when I called him for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord protects the faithful, but punishes the proud as they deserve. Be strong, be courageous, all you that hope in the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. I'm getting a message occasionally that my internet connection is unstable. Can you all hear me? This morning, maybe extra demand happening. I've been challenged in the last several weeks about how I pray during this time. What do I say to God? What do I ask for? Do I pray healing for those who are sick? Do I pray for protection for those I love or those who are most at risk? Do I ask God to make the virus go away? In this time of so much sickness and death and disruption in jobs and economic distress, do I storm the gates of heaven, asking God to act? I know we need God's presence, to seek God's spirit, to center ourselves in God's peace, to be still and know that God is God. I know we need and can find God's help with the anxiety and uncertainty and fear. But beyond that, how do we pray? What do we pray for? What do we believe we can and should pray for? I imagine we being such good Baptists, have a very wide range of answers, a diversity of beliefs about prayer. Maybe especially about what we would call intercessory prayer or prayers of intention. And I'm certainly not going to tell you how you ought to pray. But I do think that scripture, especially the Psalms, can help us in our praying. Maybe especially. Of the Jewish and Christian traditions for generations. They are ancient. They have been used over the years and they continue to be used daily today. Religious folks, monks and nuns pray all the Psalms every month. The Psalms are the heart and soul of their seven times a day liturgy of prayer. Contemporary Christians use the Psalms for devotional reading, for singing, for praying. And the lectionary scriptures that we use most weeks always include a psalm. You may have noticed that I often use them for our call to worship. There are different types of psalms. And the most basic division most scholars make is between psalms of praise and psalms of lament. This week's psalm, Psalm 31, which was a part we used part of for our call to worship and heard the rest just now, is what scholars would call a psalm of lament, a psalm for hard times, a prayer for one who is experiencing suffering and pain, a prayer for people who are struggling and wondering where God is and wanting God to act. Old Testament scholar Klaus Westermann has described the structure of most of these psalms of lament. He says they begin with an address or an appeal to God and some kind of statement about who God is. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Be a rock of refuge for me. Be a strong fortress. But then they move to complaints, laments, descriptions of the suffering of an individual and or a community. And they often talk about enemies, people who are evil, unjust, or malicious, people who are working against the psalmist. I think these verses often make us uncomfortable. Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies, right? We're not supposed to be seeking revenge. But psalms of lament are cries for deliverance, for justice, and yes, sometimes for revenge. The psalmists are not afraid to say what they want God to do. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann critiques the Christian church for ignoring the Psalms of Lament. Even when we use them in worship, he says, we often use the parts we think are the good parts. And I confess, he's right. When I'm choosing the verses for the call worship, I usually choose the parts that are affirmations of faith because I'm often uncomfortable and not quite sure what to do with the complaints. But I'm thinking that to ignore the Psalms of Lament is to ignore something important for our life of prayer. And I learned this week that to ignore the Psalms of Lament is to ignore the larger. We're missing something vital in our praying if we only pray what feels correct. There's something for us to learn from the Psalms of Lament. Now, I'm not a student of Shakespeare. I know some of you are. I know Judd Kilgore just finished auditing a class. But there is a line from one of the last scene of King Lear, which for some reason I do know. And it has come up in my mind a number of times in the past few weeks. King Lear has been killed. He's dead. And the line is, "The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say." the weight of this sad time, we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. I think that's the invitation of the Psalms of Lament. Speak what we feel, not what we think we should say. Be honest with God. Don't try to clean it up. Don't try to judge whether we should or shouldn't be praying for certain things. The Psalms of Lament call us into a deeply honest relationship with God. Even in times of suffering and distress, even when the psalmists feel like God has abandoned them, they cry out to God. Remember Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from Psalm 22, a psalm of deep, painful lament. Again and again, the psalmists storm heaven with all the weight of what they are feeling and what they need and want. They don't try to censor their prayers. There's no judging themselves or their praying. They just pray. They speak from their hearts all that they feel. Grief, sorrow, pain, suffering, anger, the desire for justice, and even for revenge. They pour it all out to God. These psalms invite us to a real, truly open-hearted, honest relationship with God. God who knows us from our mother's wounds. God who has known us all the days of our lives. Who knows what we're feeling even when we don't want to admit it to ourselves. The Psalms of Lament call us to spill it out. Tell it all. God can deal with the full intensity of our feelings even when no person can. God can handle our anger, even when it's directed right at God. Just as a human friendship can't deepen or grow without honesty about feelings, our relationship with God can't deepen without this kind of honesty with ourselves and with God. One of you who participated in the Bible study this last week wrote me afterward that we can talk with God as we do our best friends, expressing our pain and fear and anger and lay it all on the table with God. The person said, the unloading gives me space from my emotions to see some of the larger picture and the realization that God sees an even bigger picture of everything and that what I want may or may not be the best in the long run. Almost always in these Psalms of Lament, at the end there is a shift, a movement from the feelings of complaint to an affirmation of renewed faith. There's a sense that the psalmist has feels they have been heard, that God has responded. You may have felt that shift when we went from Marge's reading to Tina's. Oh, how good. How abundant is your goodness that you have laid out for those who fear you, Psalm 31 says. Walter Brueggemann writes about this movement in the Lament Psalm as a movement from a time of disorientation, of suffering and trials, to a reorientation, a new experience of faith. The life of faith is a journey through multiple experiences of disorientation, suffering, grief, loss, trials. And as we move through that disorientation, as we wrestle with the ways it dismantles our lives, we can cry out our feelings, our pain, our needs, and the Spirit of God will be with us and will lead us into new, more profound experiences of faith. For Christians, Brueggemann writes, that movement connects our life of faith to the life of Jesus Christ. From his faith-filled life, through his suffering and death, to his resurrection. A new life, reoriented faith beyond the grave. The new life, the faith that holds true beyond suffering and dying, is only found by going through the disorientation, by letting ourselves be broken open, being truthful, honest with ourselves and with God about the weight of these times, speaking what we feel and not what we ought to say. In Bible study Tuesday night, we use this psalm to help us voice some of our laments. From that sharing, I offer this litany of lament. We lament, O God, the thousands and thousands across the world who have died, so many gone, so many grieving. We lament all those who are sick and suffering right now. They need healing. They need care. They need hope and strength. We lament, O God, the healthcare workers who are struggling to care for the sick and dying. They are afraid. They need protection and health. They are overwhelmed and exhausted and they need strength. They are traumatized and grieving and need healing and hope. We lament the essential workers who are required to work, who afford not to go to work, who can't stay if they want to, who are afraid for their health and the health of their families. We lament for those communities that are suffering, as always, so much more than their fair share. Low-income, Native American, African American, Latino, immigrants undocumented who are afraid to seek. And we lament those who are protesting, refusing to wear masks, demanding to go back to work because they are angry and afraid and feel helpless. We lament all those who are in positions and leadership of leadership and power who seem to lack wisdom. We are angry about the things that are being said and done. It seems so counterproductive, so divisive, so self-serving. Why, oh God, in this time of crisis, must we deal with this? And God, we lament for all of us whose lives are disrupted and disoriented. All of us with uncertainty and fear, loss, economic stress. We need help. We need hope. God, you separated us from each other's presence in this difficult time. And how long? How long will it be, O God? And why, O God, why in this time when we need so much to focus on our earth and its healing, why are we forced to deal now with this pandemic, this virus gone amok? And God, what stops us? What keeps stopping us from coming together to save our planet and ourselves? God, we need you to work for justice and righteousness. We need you to dismantle the powers that oppress and pervert. We need you to work good in the midst of evil. Oh God, you are our God, the God of all that is. Hear our lament, our griefs, our sufferings, our fears, our questions. We lay it all before you. Hear us, we pray. We need you. And yes, O God, we also affirm that we have experienced your presence and your peace in the midst of this time. We have felt you holding us together as a church family in spite of our physical separations. And we thank you. We thank you for the love that binds us to each other and to you. We thank you for technology that allows us to see each other, to hear each other, to worship together. We thank you for all the ways that are working with how much people matter, how much time together, meals together, hugs, and physical closeness mean to us. And God, we thank you for spring, for flowers and green leaves, even when it snows, for all of us, for new life coming forth. We thank you for the ability we have living here to go outside during this time when so many people cannot. And yes, God, we do see in this crisis the silver linings, the earth able to breathe a little, and the powerful evidence that we have the power to make choices and make changes that can bring healing to our planet. And God, in this crisis, we thank you that we see people learning in new ways, that we are connected, all of us part of the same community. And we see the multiple ways we are connecting, reaching out to each other in spite of separation. We see the millions of ways that people are being courageous, resourceful, and creative to solve problems, to work for healing. And we thank you for the leaders who are working hard and trying to do what is right, trying to guide us. We thank you for gifts of technology and the power of communities to come to the aid of others. God, we praise you because we believe that you are at work in so many people doing good, caring for each other. We see such beautiful and powerful evidence of what we can do as human beings if we work together for the common good. Oh God, we believe that you are the God of love, of relationships and connections. And when you know you are always and forever working for good, we believe in your power to heal, to transform, and to renew. We believe in new beginnings, in reorientation and resurrection on the other side of crisis and disorientation. We believe in life on the other side of suffering and death. God of love, we hope in you. We trust in you. We open our hearts to you and put our lives in your hands. Amen.